Good morning. In our local newspaper, Saturday's headline was, "Evil Visited This Community," referring to Newtown, Connecticut. Yesterday's front page has in very large letters the question, "Why?" about the same event. By now, we've all had the chance to hear this very tragic story. On Friday morning, a 20-year-old gunman killed his mother at home and then went to the elementary school that he once attended. There, he proceeded to shoot and kill 26 people, including 20 children whose average grade was first grade, I guess. The story is both horrifying and heartbreaking. They say it's the second worst school shooting in U.S. history. What a horrible level of violence just days before Christmas. Not unlike another horrible level of violence in the wake of the first Christmas in Bethlehem. We know that story too. A real tragedy as part of the history of Jesus. In Matthew 2, we will hear today what happened after the wise men left. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more.'" The recent events naturally raise questions in our minds. How could this happen? How could a 20-year-old person act that way? Could this happen here at Emmanuel? We turn to our Lord for guidance, but only receive a partial answer. Let's consider the facts as we have them in the Bible. In the matter of Herod killing those babies, or Adam Lanza shooting those children, God did not cause the violence, the hatred, or the madness at work. You can blame all of that on sin and Satan. Ever since the fall, the devil has been pushing people to the point of murder, even in the family. Ever since that first killing, Abel's death at the hands of his brother, there have been murders and massacres. And boy, people are quick to say, "Where is God in all this? Why didn't God stop it?" I've learned to stop asking that question. It presupposes that we deserve an answer, which we have to be honest and say we don't. It tries to know what only God can know. And the biggest thing of all it fails to account for the ever-present reality and corruption of sin. Certainly those kids in Newtown were both helpless in a way, harmless, as were the babies and the two-year-olds in Bethlehem, the parents in mourning right now, the mothers who mourned back then. We can feel for them, and so can God. Your Heavenly Father knows what it's like to have His child suffer violence. In fact, out of this incredible love for the world, He gave up His Holy Son to the violent death of crucifixion. But unlike all the children who have died the world over, Jesus was born with no sin, no attached death consequence. We can even say this. From God's point of view, those first graders in Connecticut were not born to die. Neither were the young boys in Bethlehem, and neither were you. Jesus, on the other hand, Son of God, was. He alone was born to die. And so the true story of Herod's failed assassination attempt can help us, in a way, to see the shadow of a cross looming at the cradle of Christ. We should also notice God's hand at work back then. He did intervene through an angel, a dream, and a dutiful stepfather whisking away his wife and her son to the safety of Egypt. God would not let Herod, the devil's henchman, give a premature death to our Savior. He intervened back then for your sake and mine, and for those kids in Newtown, and even for the man who shot them. Who can fathom it? Who of us can wrap our imperfect minds around the grace of God and the justice of God at work? Some 30 years later, the innocent infant Jesus would grow up to be the only perfect person ever, the only truly innocent victim ever. He would willingly face that gruesome death at the hands of murderous men, and even worse, while on the cross, he would face the abandonment of his Father, the very agony of hell. Now that horrifying, heartbreaking event of Good Friday would be, as God intended, the full payment of all sin, purchasing our forgiveness and the gift of eternal life for all people. All people, even for those who do senseless, heinous things. Your God of incredible grace, intervening power, and infinite wisdom wants you all to know that you are safe in His keeping. First of all, you are spiritually safe through the blood of His Son shed for you and the power of His Word working in you. As for physical danger, the prospect of disaster or violence coming our way, God remains as our best security, even as He told us in Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bring comfort to all who mourn in this time of tragedy. Especially comfort them with the knowledge of your love for them in Christ. keep the intrusion of evil at bay. Make this time a call to repentance for all. Keep us ever ready for that day when your Son, our Savior, will return in person and bring to a permanent end all evil, replacing it with your perfect goodness. In His name we ask it. Amen. Our worship closes with the singing of hymn 56, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. 1, 4, and 5 of hymn 56.